I am going to sing a song, Jesus Messiah, written by Chris Tomlin and others. If you know, or if you know the chorus, I'd welcome you to sing along with me. He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Would you join me in prayer? Jesus Messiah, what powerful, powerful words and thought and salvation. For God so loved the world, Lord, you so loved us that you sent Jesus Messiah. You sent the Son of God. Draw our attention to you and your word this morning, Lord. Impact our hearts. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Who's to blame? That's what we want to find out this morning. Who's to blame? I want to know. Who took Christmas away from you? Or we could ask, who took Christ out of your Christmas? Was it the Grinch? Your mean Aunt Harriet? Or maybe it was some liberal politician. Probably a Democrat. Andrea Williams with the group Christian Concern believes that Starbucks is one of the culprits. And I quote Andrea, "This is a denial, of the historical reality and the great Christian heritage behind the American dream that has so benefited Starbucks. This also denies the hope of Jesus Christ and his story told so powerfully at this time of year. Really? Why does she say these things and make this bold proclamation? Because Starbucks doesn't have decorations on their cup this year for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And people are up in arms. As years passed, they had things like mini snowflakes and maybe Christmas trees. But this year, no elves, Christmas trees, snowflakes. One person suggested that Starbucks should put out a white cup and give crayons so all the people whining about the cups could draw their own decorations. Do you know what, among many things, that is really sad about this discussion? Ellen DeGeneres has a better perspective than the spokeswoman for the Christian group. And I quote, "The old cups had snowflakes and Santa's sleigh and elves. You know, all the things you find in the Bible." So let me ask this. If some person or group or political party can take Christ out of your Christmas, who put him there? And what Christ is that? Would you turn in your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 1, one of our traditional Christmas passages. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Anybody here ever heard of Star Wars? Of course, we've got the new one coming out, and people are very excited. I don't think it's out yet. It's still coming out. But we all know, and I'll just own up to it. When that first comes across, that crawls across the screen, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Whoosh, they've got me. Well, let's read our text and see some similarities. Because what I want us to see is, I want us to see the Christmas that we have. You know, because, you know, Jesus was born on December 25th. You all know that, right? No. But we do celebrate at that time. We do celebrate at that time. But let's let God tell us what Christmas really is. See, the world has an idea. And sometimes we do get too caught up in trying to change the world's idea of Christmas. But do you know whose business we should maybe be taking care of? Maybe our own. Maybe our own. We bemoan the commercialism and you know, all of these things that we can complain about, but okay, I'm just going to confess in front of everybody. I like Christmas. I like giving gifts. I like the anticipation of choosing. Now, when I'm doing some of those things, if I was real spiritual, which you'll have to be the judge, if I was real spiritual, I would say, oh, I'm thinking of the Lord. And I'm just thinking of God's love when I give these gifts away. Not really. I mean, it's because of God's love, but I enjoy bringing a smile. I enjoy getting just the right gift for someone. But that's kind of the world's Christmas. That's not the one that impacts my life. That's not the one that we're going to read about that in verse 1, long ago, at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. See, no one can take Christ out of Christmas. God, sovereign Lord, providential ruler, the thought of sinning. See, we needed the Son of God to come to the planet. Now, I hope to go through some of these. It's going to be a little more topical than normal, but just to see what has happened, the Son of God was prophesied. We know we're familiar in the New Testament, Simeon was given that revelation that he would see the Son of God, he would see the Christ before he died, and he did. we'll see just how amazing it is, and let God just bring our minds around to what really happened. And folks, when we understand what really happened, when we hear this silliness of someone taking Christ out of Christmas, or all these groups getting upset because Starbucks has a red cup and it doesn't have Christmas trees on it, we're like, but that's not the Christmas I'm concerned about anyway. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, our text again, long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Both lines capture us. Both lines thrust us into an amazing journey and an epic struggle, good versus evil. But only one of these stories is true. Only one of these stories is set in eternity. Only one of these stories has life or death meaning for every person who has been born on the planet. Only one can deliver the hope promised. One story dies with its human creators. The other continues forever. Goodness beyond what our minds can comprehend. God coming to earth. No one can take that away. No one can take that away. No one can undo what God has decided to do. Do we understand what happened? Back to Hebrews 1:1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Now, if you would turn just to chapter 2 of Hebrews, and we're going to leave a whole lot of good stuff out in between. But I want us to see what had to happen. Have you ever wondered why God had to do it that particular way? Well, these texts show us that for us to be saved after the great rebellion in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve decided it was a better, more wise, more profitable thing to listen to the serpent than to listen to God, after that great rebellion, we needed rescued. We needed salvation. We needed redemption. God knew how all of this was going to unfold before. God had a plan. See, when we are living, when God is real enough to us, when we are in that right place before God, and our God is the sovereign Lord, God most high of the universe, I'm happy to say that we're just not going to get our feathers too ruffled because Starbucks forgot the snowflakes this year on the cup. Or the economy. Or even the thought of Donald Trump being president. Oops, not trying to get into politics here, just current events, we call that. But we have, when our God is so all-encompassing in our lives, we know who's truly in control, don't we? We just don't have to get blown back and forth like that little frail ship on the stormy ocean. Well, in these verses, what we're going to look at, we're going to see why we had to have, God had to visit the planet. This is why Jesus came. We needed the Son of God to come to the planet. What's John 3:16? Well, it's talking about God sending the Son to the planet. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, unique, one-of-a-kind Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he what? Sent. He sent, he gave, he sent his Son. He knew we needed the Son of God for our redemption. Hebrews 2, like I say, we left a lot of good stuff out in between, but reading in verse 14, we see the Son had to become a human, a man, to destroy the devil and deliver us from the fear of death. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things. The children, that's us. He, that's Jesus Christ. Jesus, Messiah. That through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. See, what we need to understand is the faith that we have, it's more than just some Christmas story. And that infant that came, that infant, him coming and him being born to the Virgin Mary, everything about his life, all that whole plan unfolded from the infinite, eternal mind of God. Now tell me who's going to take that away. I don't think so. That's what we have. Now, what they might take away is they might take away Christmas like we like to have it on this earth. We might prefer to hear Merry Christmas than Happy Holiday. But they haven't taken away. They've just taken away the world celebrates Christmas. See, what have we made? What has God presented, and then what do we make of it? The world has a version of it. We make a religious version of it. Our religious version, it contends with theirs, but there's nothing there won or lost in that battle that really matters. What matters is what God says he has done. That's why I say I titled the message, Jesus Messiah, the prequel. You know what a prequel is. We've become acquainted with that over the last several years, right? You have a movie, a story, it's really popular. You say, man, we've got to get more out of this. So they go and they tell the story before the story. Now, usually when we do that, we have to go make up the story before the story. The great thing that we have here is that story was already there. There was a big, huge story before Christ ever came to earth. And you know what else there is? There's a big, huge story later, too. The big, huge story we talk about going to heaven. We talk about being raptured from this earth. We talk about being caught up with God and taken away. Nobody changes any of that. No economy upturn or downturn, no politician, no holiday celebration, no, doesn't matter what the greeter says at the door of Walmart. If they're taking away what you have for Christmas, if those things take away what you hold in your heart as the spirit of Christmas, you might be holding the wrong thing. Because what God gives us, no one takes away. The Son had to become a human to destroy the devil and deliver us from fear of death. The Son had to become a human so he could become a merciful and faithful high priest. Verses 16 and 17. For surely it is not the angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Now, who's that? Who's the offspring of Abraham? Well, in Galatians, Paul tells that's us. That's the nation of Israel, too, the believing nation of Israel. But it is also those who believe in Jesus Christ. All in the promise. Speaking of us here, therefore he had to be made like his brothers. Who are his brothers and sisters? Okay, look around. This is us. In every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Propitiation, that he might take the wrath. God is a holy God. We know these things. He has his wrath, his great anger is against sin. For us to have hope, someone had to take that wrath, that anger. Someone had to pay for the crime. Someone had to receive the punishment. That someone, there couldn't be some controls or some levers pulled in heaven to take care of the problem. No, God had to become a man and fill Jesus, Son of God, had to feel the full brunt of the holiness of the Father, even having the Father, and they were in perfect unity, but the Father turning from him at that moment when everything became dark and Christ is on the cross. And he cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus, the man, the baby, was born. The Son of God came to earth. Do you see what we have? Sometimes we're too concerned because we're people, so we do stupid stuff, don't we? Come on, yeah, you guys, whether you nodded your head or not, I know. We do stupid things. We do sinful things. Do you think this great and grand, marvelous plan of God's and his act of forgiveness through this, we really undo those things? I know we're a little bit on a side issue now, but no, his forgiveness covers that. This is what had to happen that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. When you go to the Lord in prayer and Christ is there as your intercessor, and it doesn't get any better than that, does it? I mean, you could have me there trying to help you out, but sorry, Dave, I just wouldn't cut it. How about God, who came to earth, felt the pain and lived the joy, but took the full punishment? See, Jesus knows he paid it all. And it's his witness, the blood of the Lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's who stands in our behalf. But he had, couldn't be a control turned, a setting made, a lever pulled in heaven. God had to come to earth. Verse 18, the Son had to become human so he could be tempted and suffer. The Bible said it, I didn't say it. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And this follows on the heels of being our merciful and faithful high priest. Jesus was tempted. Now, he did not sin, did he? But can you imagine the battle? Can you, because we are tempted and we give in and the battle can subside. Not that we did a good thing giving in and to the sin, but he didn't give in. So he felt the full force of the enemy's attack and never gave in. Do you think that this Jesus doesn't understand when you struggle with life, when your tears flow, when your heart is ripped out, when you see what those who you love, you see what they are going through, when we struggle personally with our own sins, and yes, we all have them. Do we worship a great and good God, an amazing, amazing, powerful Savior? I want us to look on the inside of the study sheet. I just want us to, let me go back to Hebrews 1 and read that again. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he created the world. See that thread then, that it came from the infinite, eternal mind of God, this whole plan. We see that, if you could look at the middle column, Isaiah prophesied, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Isaiah, John 3:16, God gave his only son. The son was prophesied, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us what is given? A son, because we needed the son to come to earth. God had to come to earth. Do you see how involved, how powerful, how all-encompassing God's plan is? From ages past, long, long ago in a galaxy far away. Well, no, how about this? Long, long ago in the infinite, eternal mind of God. That's how our story begins. And now I want to go to these 1 John verses, and I think I'm just going to read through every one of them because it is so good and powerful and fits so well with this thread that we have, the Son of God. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. Boy, I'm just going to read. We got dinner waiting, don't we? So we can't. And now we live in fellowship with the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God and he is eternal life. 1 Corinthians 1:23. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. And you'll see that is on the back on the preaching schedule. And I want us to realize what we do, Faith Fellowship Church. We don't just hold church. We stand here for God and we allow him to reflect his light. 1 John 5, verses 1 and 5. Everyone who believes Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus, what? Is the Son of God. 1 John 5, verses 11 and 12. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. 1 John 5:13. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. Do we know what we have? Do we know what we have? The believe in the name of the Son of God. There's still stuff going to happen with Happy Holidays and Merry Christmas and a red cup and it didn't have a reindeer on it. But do we know what we have? Do we know what we have? Is God the one arranging our priorities? Is it clicking here? If Christ isn't present in our Christmas, who do we really have to blame? Think about that. God offers you something. I can't remember the character, if it was a cartoon character or a movie character, but it goes something like, ain't nobody, ain't no how, ain't no way. God has given us something no one can take away. No one can take away. The Son of God came to earth. He accomplished exactly what he set out for, and he is accomplishing it in each of our lives.